And as you turn there, I will remind you that in this country, as you know, we keep an annual day of Thanksgiving, at least in part because of the experience of those original pilgrims that came to America from England and offered thanks to God for His mercies, even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. There was 102 pilgrims that first came to Plymouth in Massachusetts in the year 1620. And they spent a first winter there in New England in what one Puritan described as a howling wilderness. 102 pilgrims, and more than half of them died that first winter. And their leader, William Bradford, he recorded in a journal how many of them had arrived in New England with scurvy and other diseases from the long and very difficult voyage, and that in the depth of that first winter in January and February, it was common to bury two or three of their company each day. But in the next fall, in 1621, the 50 of them who were left enjoyed a very rich harvest. They filled their homes with good things and prepared for the next long winter. And they had things such as an abundance of fish, many wild turkeys, and venison. And so being Protestants, William Bradford called them to a time of thanksgiving in that fall of 1621. Even though there was only 50 of them there, they gathered together for a three-day feast of thanksgiving to the Lord, thanking Him for His gracious provision. And they were joined by about 90 Indians. And so an annual Thanksgiving Day, it's become very common. It grew from that first one in 1621. Gradually, it was being held in more and more places until it became an official holiday in 1863. And while it has become, for most in our culture, a little more than just Turkey Day, a day of football and family and friends and eating, it still provides the Christian in this country an opportunity to come together with his fellow believers as the church in congregation and to give our thanks to God together as his people. And so that's why we are here. And we do that today. We do that in song and in prayer and in giving, but we also do it in the hearing of his word as it's proclaimed. And so turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'd like to read verses 12 through 18. Let us hear God's word. We ask you, brothers, to respect those over you, those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Note the simple commands there. In verses 16, 17, and 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The apostle gives us these very simple commands, indicating that this is something that does not come naturally to us. By our fallen nature, we are prone not to rejoice always. By our fallen nature, we are prone not to pray without ceasing. If it were not so, then Paul would not need to give us direction in this sense with these imperatives. But I would draw your attention in particular to verse 18, where he says, give thanks in all circumstances. He tells us to give thanks. But we might want to consider what it is that we are to be thankful for. As we think of the blessings that God has given us, as we come to Him to give our thanks to Him, what is it that we are thankful for to God? What is it that we should be thankful for? Well, we thank God for all His blessings, as we sang in the doxology a few minutes ago. We praise God from whom all blessings flow. We know that it is from Him that we have all the many and manifold blessings that we enjoy in this life. But it's helpful for us. It's helpful for the Christian to think about the blessings that God gives us in the two categories in which they come. In those common blessings and also in those spiritual or redemptive blessings. Both are important. Both demonstrate God's grace toward us. And both should cause us to thank God and to praise Him continuously. Now, you might be familiar with this paradigm or these categories of common and spiritual or redemptive blessings. But again, it's good for us to meditate upon these things. Common blessings are those blessings that are common to all of mankind. They're not common in the sense of we don't care about them. We do care about them very much. We couldn't live without them. But they are common to all of mankind, the believer and the unbeliever alike. These are the blessings that really belong to the whole order of creation. They are the blessings with which God is pleased to bestow upon all of His creatures. We find mention of these blessings throughout the Bible, especially throughout the Psalms. We read in Psalm 104, for example, a long, long praise and song to God for all the wonderful common blessings that He gives His creation. And we read these words from the psalmist. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. And if you're familiar with that psalm, you know that the psalm goes on to mention over and over again all the things that God gives His creatures, not only to mankind, but also to all of the animals, that He gives food and water and shelter, and on it goes. Common blessings, important blessings. And we find the same thing really in the New Testament, that these blessings come upon the believer and the unbeliever alike. We think of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, where He says, "For He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." You see, all of mankind, all people, even those who are not part of the covenant community, even those who are not part of the redeemed people of God, all of mankind still experiences God's blessing in this way. The unrepentant sinner, even in all of his rebelliousness and wickedness, even as he would suppress the truth that God has revealed in all of nature and in his conscience, that God is real and that man is accountable to him, even so, man still experiences the blessings of God. God is good in this way. But even though the unbeliever experiences this, he often is not thankful for them. He doesn't show his thanks. He might claim to be thankful in some sort of general way. Actually, it's always amazed me every Thanksgiving year to hear people say what they're thankful for, but never say to whom they are thankful. To whom are you thankful? You're gathering together for Thanksgiving. To whom are you thankful? To your lucky stars, to karma, to a God of your own imagination, or to the God who has revealed Himself in nature and Scripture. And if you're thankful to Him, then what have you done with His Son? But the believer, of course, has to look at these common blessings that come upon not only himself, but all of mankind, and he's to look at them and to understand that these come from his Father in heaven. We're to recognize that everything we enjoy from day to day, we are given, of course, from the gracious hand of our Father. And we're to praise Him as a result of that. We're to give Him thanks. You know, if we only think just for a little bit upon all of the wonderful things in the common realm and the created order that our God gives us to live, to move, to have our being, we really are amazed. And we are overwhelmed by the fact that God does satisfy us with good, as the psalmist says in Psalm 103. We're to bless His name for providing us all that we need to live so that we're satisfied. Again, every one of us here woke up this morning, and you may not have felt very blessed, but nevertheless, I can see that you have come here clothed. You went to your closet. You found something to wear. You probably went to the kitchen, and you found something to eat. Most of us, if not all of us, we did not wake up in some cave this morning or in some hole, but you probably woke up in an apartment or in a house where there were walls that kept you warm from the elements and a roof over your head. These things, of course, all come to us from God. And we step outside and we see not a world that is void and without form, but we find a livable place, a place full of color, a place full of nature, a place where there is plenty of air for us to breathe. There is no lack of oxygen. We never have to worry in the morning if we're not going to be able to breathe because we're going to use up the air. The earth is still spinning on its axis. The sun rose in the morning as it always has and always will until the end of the age. Why? Because of God's goodness to us. He gives us these common blessings in order that we might be satisfied. And He does these things, of course, and we see them testified in the Scripture, and we are to give thanks to Him for them. He does them because He is a God who does not give sparingly. He does not give frugally to us. Rather, He is pictured even throughout the Bible as one who gives generously and abundantly to us so that we are satisfied. Most of us are already looking forward to that experience this afternoon or this evening. Many of us probably left homes where there's already that good smell of the cooking is taking place, and we're looking forward this afternoon or this evening not to a frugal meal, not to a meager meal, but to an abundant meal. Many of us will probably even enjoy some level of hyper-satisfaction this afternoon. But isn't that really part of the goodness of the Lord? That He gives, not sparingly, but abundantly. He opens His hand and He gives to all of His creation these wonderful common blessings. And loved ones, as His people, what Paul's command is telling us to do this morning is to remember to give thanks to God, to give thanks to Him, to know that however hard we've worked, however much we are able to say that we have provided for our families or that we have worked hard in order for them to enjoy a home in which to live or clothes to wear or food to eat. Nevertheless, we're to know that ultimately all of these things, of course, come from the providential care and goodness and kindness of our God, who opens up His hand and satisfies us with good things, and therefore we are to give Him thanks. And as we meditate upon that and as we reflect upon that, we should be filled more and more with a sense of thanksgiving to God. But those are all the common blessings. In that first category, what about the second category? The spiritual blessings, the redemptive blessings. You see, all of mankind enjoys those common blessings, believer and unbeliever alike. Believer and unbeliever alike today will gather in homes for Thanksgiving. And many of those homes won't even stop and pause to give God thanks and prayer. But even though all of mankind enjoys those common blessings in that common realm that is given over to the order of creation, it is only God's elect, it's only His redeemed people who experience those particular, special, spiritual, redemptive blessings. And whatever you have in the common realm, whether it is a little or a lot, if you are in Christ, you have these things, these spiritual and redemptive blessings. And they ultimately far outweigh all the goodness that God gives us in those common blessings. Think of the way in which Paul begins his letter to the Ephesians. He opens it up and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Spiritual blessings. Those are the things that God, that Paul gives God praise for. Not, Lord, thank you for this day, thank you for this food, thank you for my car, and thank you for my health. Those are wonderful things, but they're only common. They're only temporary. These are something that far outweigh those common blessings. And these are the things that drove Paul to give God praise at the beginning of that letter. And of course, he goes on to praise God for these spiritual blessings, stacking them up one after another. Our election by the Father, our redemption by the Son, our sealing by the Holy Spirit. All of these things, one after another, showing that we have reason to bless God's name and be thankful. Those are the blessings. Our justification, our adoption, our preservation by God's hand. All of these things are things indeed that we should give God praise for. And ultimately, when we think about it, I mean, how do you compare temporary, earthly riches, as wonderful as those are, how do you compare them with the knowledge that you are justified before a holy God, even with all of your sin? How do you compare the temporary benefit of good health? As important as that is, and as much as we cherish good health, how do you compare that with the eternal benefit of election and redemption? How do you compare the temporary pleasure of food, family, friends, recreation, all those things that we spend so much time and energy in trying to obtain? But how do we compare that with the eternal happiness and contentment of heaven that we even now have a foretaste of? You see, the natural man doesn't care about spiritual blessings. The natural man isn't interested in them because they are remote. They are strange. They are foreign. A man by nature is only interested in the life of this world, in the things that can be touched, in the things that can be seen and experienced. And when you begin to talk to him about spiritual blessings, things like redemption from sin and adoption by God and the hope of heaven, well, he really doesn't know what you're talking about. He thinks it's just your pie in the sky, your crutch, your whatever it is to help you get through the night. But he thinks that because he is dead in his trespasses and sins, and because he walks according to the prince of the power of the air. He's governed by the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. And he's only interested in houses and cars and furniture and jobs and money and vacations and recreation. He's only interested in the temporal. You begin to talk to him about eternal things, about heaven, about knowing God, about justification, about a life renewed in the Spirit, and he doesn't know what you're talking about. It's blank stares. He can't discern these things because he is a natural man. But loved ones, we who are in Christ Jesus do understand these things. And we know that the Scriptures show us how infinitely blessed we are, not only from all of God's goodness in the common realm, giving us all things that we need here, but he has given us those things that are eternal and cannot change. Redemption from our sin that we did not deserve. And when we reflect upon that, the fact that God could have so easily allowed each one of us to remain in the darkness of our sin, to remain in the depravity that we would have gladly have remained in. When we think of the fact that God sent His Son to die for us, rebellious sinners, and His Spirit to open up our eyes and believe the truth, well, we have much reason to thank God. And so by regularly reflecting and thinking carefully of our blessings in both of these realms, common and redemptive, by remembering them and meditating upon the goodness of God who gives them, we can become a people who are more deliberately thankful to our God for all that He has done for us. But notice in our text there that Paul also tells us when we are to be thankful. He doesn't just say give thanks. Notice what else he says. He says give thanks in all circumstances. So what are we to be thankful for? Well, his common and redemptive benefits. When are we to be thankful? Well, in all circumstances. That is, we're to be deliberately and actively thankful whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in, whether things are going relatively well for us or whether things are not going so well at all. In fact, they're going quite terrible. Nevertheless, we are still to be thankful. Perhaps you are a person who finds it rather easy to be forgetful of God's blessings when things are going relatively smooth and relatively well. You are still to give thanks to God all the time, thinking that if it weren't for His providential care and His upholding and His kindness, all of these things, of course, which ultimately come to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, He could remove any one of these things at any given time and things wouldn't be so smooth. But on the other hand, you may be like a lot of us and find it more difficult to be thankful to God when things have gone south, when things have gone badly. Unforeseen circumstances come and they grip your life, or they rise around you like giant waves around a tiny little boat, and you feel overwhelmed at times. You think, well, it can't get much worse than this, and then it does. And then it gets worse after that. And you've probably been driven, like the psalmist at times, to say, why, Lord? I just don't get it. Why? But Paul is saying that in every circumstance, no matter how catastrophic, in every circumstance, we are still to give thanks. Now notice that Paul is not saying we are to give God thanks for all circumstances. There are some things that we are not called to give God thanks for in and of themselves. Things that He indeed sends upon us and allows us to experience in this life. But it may be that you have experienced some particular kind of evil. You may have lost a loved one to a violent crime. God is not saying to you, you need to give me thanks. Say thank you that my loved one was murdered. It's not for all circumstances, but rather it's in all circumstances. Notice that. Whatever we experience in this life, come what may, we are still to give God thanks for His many and manifold blessings to us. Even if we should experience tragedy like Job experienced, we should still be able to say, naked I came into this world, naked I will leave. The Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Still giving God thanks even during all circumstances. And Paul was, of course, one who learned how to do this. He didn't come easily to him, didn't come naturally to him, but he learned how to do this. He learned how to be content in every circumstance. 30 years of ministry. The majority of those 3 decades were not spent in smooth sailing, even though there was plenty of wonderful experiences for him to write about, and the joy that he experienced was ongoing, and the fellowship that he enjoyed and was able to experience with so many Christians around the world. Nevertheless, he spent a great part of his time in prisons. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was chased out of places, laughed at, mocked at. And nevertheless, he learned to say, I need to give thanks, even in all circumstances. And notice what Paul also says in the text. He tells us why we are to give thanks in all circumstances. What are we to give God thanks for? Well, the common blessings, the spiritual blessings. Why are we to give Him, or when are we to give Him thanks in all circumstances? But why? Well, he says, for this is the will of God for you. This is God's will for your life, to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances. If you're interested in doing God's will, here is a plain and clear statement about God's will for you. And one of those things is giving thanks, to be a grateful person, to be part of a grateful people. Not a grumbler, not a complainer, not a whiner, but a thankful person. Somebody who's able to say, Even as difficult as my life is, nevertheless, I know what God has done for me. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He is the Sustainer. And bless His name, He is also the Consummator, who is bringing me home. You see, it's God's grand design, of course, to redeem a people for Himself from this fallen world. To make them a people with a living hope, looking forward to that blessed consummation. A people who, even in the midst of their sorrow and their suffering, are still a joyful and rejoicing people because of the redemption that they have been given. And God's purpose is not to create a shriveled up or bitter or ungrateful people. His purpose is to renew us so that we will experience in His fullest blessing in the age to come, His recreation. But also during this age, also to show the world around us what humanity was intended to be in the original creation. And the very first thing humanity ought to have been in the view of the goodness of the Creator, of course, was thankful. And Paul is saying now that even though you live in a fallen world in which there will always be sorrow and suffering until Christ returns, nevertheless, the evil of this age should not overshadow you in such a way that you are ungrateful to Him. It is God's will for our lives that we give thanks to Him in all circumstances. But even though this is God's will for our lives, we might wonder, well, okay, but how is it that we can do that? You might even be thinking, well, this is all fine and I agree with it, but, you know, He doesn't know my circumstances. He doesn't know the kind of challenges I am facing. And I would be the first to agree with you. I don't know your circumstances. And I don't understand the kind of challenges that you're facing. But I know this, everybody faces challenges. And everybody has circumstances that are difficult. And I also know what Paul says, if we look there in the text. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. And look at those three most important words. In Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, come what may in this life, whatever it is, we are still able to give God thanks as people who are in Christ Jesus. It is possible to express thanks to God in all circumstances if we are in Christ Jesus. For it is only in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ that we have the confidence that God is truly for us. He has proven it by the resurrection of His Son. This thing was not done in a corner, but it was done openly to all the world. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? And come what may in this life, we are still able to give thanks to the eternal love and the favor that we enjoy from our Father. This is the remedy when you are feeling ungrateful. Here is the remedy in Christ Jesus, the good news. If you are in Christ Jesus, loved ones, whatever you're experiencing, whatever your struggles are, ultimately, they have to be put in perspective with that truth. That you belong to Him, body and soul, in life and in death. And that blessing cannot change. That blessing cannot go away. And that, of course, is the most important thing that we could ever give God thanks for, is the active work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His passive work of suffering and His resurrection. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, let us commit ourselves to be a people who show gratitude to our God more and more. And let's meditate upon those many blessings that He has given us, the common blessings, thinking specifically about them. And also the redemptive blessings. And then, loved ones, let us this afternoon talk about those good things that God has done for us in order that we might be thankful, in order that we might speak and sing our praise to Him and seek to bless His holy name with all that is within us. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we give You thanks today, for we have much to be thankful for. We give You thanks and praise today for Your goodness to us. We thank You for Your work in creation, for creating for us a world in which we may live. Truly, You have set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. And we thank You and we praise You for the beauty that You have left in this world for us to enjoy. The heavens that declare Your glory, the mountains that speak of Your splendor, the oceans that testify of Your power, all of creation, Lord, as we look around in this theater of glory that speaks of Your goodness and Your grace toward us and Your kindness toward all of mankind. And we thank You and we praise You for giving us all that we need in this life for our bodies. We think of the food that we eat, the clothing we wear, the shelter we enjoy. We thank You for giving us means of employment so that we are able to earn a living for the things that we need. And whether we find ourselves having much or having little, help us to be a people that are grateful, a people who are thankful in all circumstances. Cause us to rejoice and praise You, that no matter what happens to us in this life, we might know that You remain the same. You remain good, Lord. You continue to uphold and govern all things by Your eternal counsel and providence, and so govern them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, all of these things come to us not by chance, but from Your fatherly hand. And Father, we not only thank You for these common blessings, but we thank You for these particular spiritual blessings. We thank You and praise You that You have set Your love upon us before the foundations of the world. We thank You and praise You for sending Christ 2,000 years ago to walk this earth, to live an actively obedient life, and to go to the cross for our sakes. We thank You and praise You that He made propitiation for our sins, forever turning away Your wrath from us, that we might never have to face judgment or hell, that He suffered hell in our place. And we thank You and we praise You for the work of Your Spirit, who has opened up our eyes to these things and continues to sanctify us and preserve us throughout this life. We thank You and praise You for Your church, Lord, that You have collected us into Your body, into Your people. And we thank You for this congregation, for this local manifestation of Your people. We thank You for the work that You have begun here at Christ United Reformed Church. We cannot take credit for this ourselves, O Lord. We thank You for planting a church where we are able to gather together weekly and worship You and hear Christ proclaimed. Father, we know that there are many Christians in not only the city but throughout the world who do not have that benefit, and so we give You thanks. And we thank You for providing us with a building also in which to meet, a place where we are able to worship each Lord's Day and enjoy teaching and fellowship during the week. And we thank You for the many blessings that You have bestowed upon us as a congregation and as families and as individuals. We thank You for Your blessings upon John Young and his family as You spared our brother earlier this year and granted him longer life. We give You thanks that his heart surgery was so successful. We give You thanks for sustaining our brother Bob Gordon while he battles Parkinson's. We thank You that he has not grown worse in this illness, but has been able to function normally in many ways. And we thank You for Your mercy upon our brother Mike Clough and his family. We thank You for sparing his life earlier this year with the deep vein thrombosis and the blood clots. We thank You for keeping Dina and the girls in Your hand during that time, and that You have promised to do so no matter what You send in our lives. And we thank You for sparing Dave Butts and his accident earlier this year, for bringing Janine Funk and Sherry Jumper back to health after their surgeries, for protecting Roy Lopez when he was deployed to Louisiana, for watching over and blessing little Annika Shimon, giving her more health, for sparing Frank Hamersky's life during his heart attack, so many others. We give You thanks for these things, O Lord. We thank You for them, each and every one specifically.
We thank you for the birth of Emma James earlier this year. And we ask your blessing continually upon her. We thank you for the pregnancies that we've experienced this year of Janie Brown and Melissa Brenda DeSalis and Stacy Salas. We thank you for removing the cysts from little baby Ian's brain. And we thank you for all of these things, Father, and we would ask that you would help us to grow in gratitude more and more, to give our thanks to you in all circumstances, come whatever may, today, this week, and throughout our lives. May it be so, we pray. For we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.